Blog Talk Radio.
Keep it locked on Hindsight Radio.
Quite simply, a statist is somebody who believes in having a state. Basically, anybody who wants government.
Government is the exercise of authority over a people or place. And that is basically the right to rule. It's not just the ability to control other people, because most people have that in one way or another. It's the right. It's the idea that certain people, it's legitimate for them to forcibly control others. Belief in government is a purely faith-based, indoctrinated belief. It doesn't actually make any sense in practical terms or in evidence or in logic.
For years, I thought it was a really good analogy to compare government to religion. And only a few years ago did I realize it's not an analogy. It is a religion in every way. It has a superhuman deity, government, that has rights that mortals don't. It isn't restricted by the rules that apply to mortals. It issues commands, and if you disobey, you're a sinner, and you deserve to be punished. The faithful, the true believers, they have great faith in these bizarre rituals, elections and legislation and appointments, and they dress up and then they say, ta-da, now I represent government. I know I just look like a person, but I don't just have the rights of a person because I represent the magical deity called government. And so I'm allowed to demand your money and boss you around and hurt you if you disobey me. I'm acting on behalf of government, and it has commandments called laws. And these laws aren't just the threats of humans. They are decrees from something superhuman. And so all you good people out there should bow to this deity. And if you want the world fixed, this is what you pray to. And we give you certain rituals of how to pray to it and when you're supposed to pray to it and pray to the God to make the world what you wish it was and to save you from all the uncertainties of reality. The doctrine people are taught is just patently absurd. And a bunch of examples of that are like consent of the governed. There isn't such thing. If it's consent, it's voluntary. If it's being governed, it's not. The actual given excuse is, we have the right to rule you because you decided we did, even if you didn't vote for us, and even if you oppose everything we do to you. And, well, they represent us. Okay, they represent us by doing a lot of things that we don't have the right to do. And they represent us by bossing us around and taking our money. Like, I bet if I went to my neighbor and bossed him around and took his money and said, I'm representing you, he would say, what? What a stupid thing to say. To me, the most insane is, we are the government, which you hear everywhere. And I ask somebody, wait, do you really not notice that there's a group of people over there? They issue threats, and they call them laws, and they issue demands for money, and they call it taxes. And if you disobey, they send men with guns to hurt you. Now, are you really incapable of distinguishing between yourself and them? One of the biggest giveaways that the belief in government is a complete blind faith religious belief is the way people respond. One very easy line of questioning is, can you give somebody else a right that you don't have? And everybody says, well, no, of course not. Well, how about you and your buddy? Can the two of you give someone else a right that neither of you had? Well, no. And it only takes a couple more questions to get to, well, how did Congress get rights that you don't have? They get emotional and they get angry or they get defensive or they run away. They didn't come to this belief through reasoning and evidence and logic. They came there by having a blind faith belief smashed into their heads, starting before they could even talk.
It's just something they were taught to believe, that there's this thing called authority, and that it's allowed to do things that human beings aren't, and that people have an obligation to obey it, to the point where, yeah, it's some people, they weren't gods or anything, some people wrote down a thing on paper, and then they called it legislation, and they did certain rituals, and then people go around saying, well, this is law. Most people literally feel physical discomfort and fear at the thought of disobeying anyone in authority. Most people can't say, no, I'm not going to do that, because it goes against their years and years of programming and indoctrination that trains them to think, if you do as you're told, you're good. If you don't, you're bad. And that's the message of school, and that message gets pounded in people's heads. Students are taught over and over and over and over again every stinking day they're in school that the measure of your virtue is how well you obey authority. The whole approval-disapproval thing. The one thing you learn in school is if you do as you're told, you get approval and reward. And if you don't do as you're told, you get disdain and condemnation. They'll make sure everybody knows you're a bad person because you didn't do as you were told. The belief in authority leads everybody, good people, bad people, everything in between, to advocate and do things they wouldn't otherwise do, bad things they wouldn't otherwise do, including cops, because the cops really and truly believe that they have the right to do things that I don't have the right to do and you don't have the right to do. The only reason most of them do what they do is because they believe in authority, and they really believe that legislation gives them an exemption from morality. So that when they do something and someone says, hey, what you're doing is bad, hey, I don't make the law, I just enforce it. I'm not responsible for my actions, I'm just a tool of some weird thing somewhere else called government. You can't blame me for what I am personally doing because I'm not really doing it. As loony as that is, that's what most of them will say. Whenever somebody says, hey, what you're doing is wrong, it's not okay to, you know, it's not okay to lock people up for smoking marijuana, it's not okay, you know, all the ways in which quote-unquote law enforcement initiates violence against nonviolent people. And if you bring that up to them, they literally talk as if they didn't do it. The only reason they do that is because they were taught the lie of authority and government and law along with everyone else, and then they were told, you're just a tool of the thing called law, and that makes it so you have rights that other people don't have. So you don't have to feel bad about physically assaulting nonviolent people because the law says it's okay. It really is just permission to ignore your conscience by saying you have rights that other people don't. You know, you don't have the right to tell other people what habit to have on your own. You don't have the right to go and extort people on your own. But once you're law enforcement, then not only is it okay, it's noble and great to go around robbing people and bossing them around. That is the biggest danger of the belief in authority. It tricks good people into condoning or doing really nasty, horrible, violent things because they think, well, this is okay if government and authority does it.
They are raised by their parents, by the school, by the government, by the culture, by all the authoritarian messages built into everything, to think that obedience is a virtue. And when you raise the culture to think that, and you get one nasty psycho at the top who says, hey, go do bad stuff, people say, well, I have to follow orders. I have to obey the law. I have to do as I'm told because that's a virtue. And then good people march off and do evil stuff. I'm not scared of the Maos and the Stalins and the Hitlers. I'm scared of the thousands or millions of people that hallucinate them to be authority and so do their bidding and pay for their empires and carry out their orders. I don't care if there's one loony with a stupid mustache, he's not a threat if the people do not believe in authority. Some people assume that, well, you must trust everybody if you don't want government. That's not at all true. I don't nearly trust everybody, but if I don't trust people to run their own lives, why on earth would I trust them to be in a position of power where they can forcibly run other people's lives?
Really what it boils down to is saying, I don't trust people. People are untrustworthy and unpredictable. So my solution is to take some of those people, some of the most untrustworthy around, give them permission to violently control us all. And that will protect us from the untrustworthiness of mankind. Okay, you're so scared of the average man out there and so thankful for government. Let me ask you, who has taken more of your money under threat of force? Private people threatening you or agents of authority threatening you? How many murders are committed by private people compared to how many are committed by people acting on behalf of authority? It's not even close. The number of murders committed in the name of law enforcement and government and authority
completely dwarfs private murder.
Even governments killing the people of other countries is small compared to them killing their own people. In the last 100 years, over 270 million human beings killed by their own governments, not counting war.
That first step is always the hardest, to get someone to dare to set aside his blind faith long enough to think about things, to back up enough to say, maybe government isn't even legitimate at all. It takes a lot for people indoctrinated into the faith to dare to think of those literally blasphemous ideas that, no, those people in Washington don't have the right to rule. Their threats aren't laws, they're just threats. Their demands aren't taxes, it's just extortion. And that really feels like heresy, because it is. It is heresy against the God called government. I now have a huge amount of hope, because I see an acceleration of the number of people who dare to think about these things, and now the number of people able to have this conversation is just hugely exploding. And they're still a minority. But that exponential curve, I don't think it's stopping. I really think the cult of statism is as good as dead. Ultimately, I think the belief in government is doomed for the exact same reasons that the belief in a flat earth was doomed. There's too many people pointing out the utter inherent insanity in the belief, and that's just not going to go away. Nobody who understands self-ownership and understands why authority is inherently bogus wakes up the next day and say, suddenly, you know, I think I should do whatever the politicians say. I think really humanity is just beginning to wake up to what it's supposed to be. Humanity wasn't meant to be a domesticated species owned by a ruling class. Every human being owns himself, is in charge of his own life. I'd like to see actual rational moral civilization in my lifetime, but we are going to get there. Sooner or later, we are totally going to get there. The lie will never outlive the truth forever.
You're listening to your host, Akeem L., on Hindsight Radio.
You think you know how the world works?
Peace to the gods.
What if I told you the reality you know is one of many?
Hindsight Radio.
This doesn't make any sense.
Not everything does. Not everything has to. Through the mystic arts, we harness energy and shape reality. We travel great distances in an instant.
How do I get from here to there?
Hindsight Radio.
Study and practice. Here's the bit. There's a strength to him.
But is he ready?
Peace to the gods.
Be careful which path you travel down, strange. Stronger men than you have but their way. I am death. And pain. You'll die protecting this world. There is no other way.
The information station. Station of nation.
I've spent so many years peering through time. Looking for you.
Keep it locked, locked on Hindsight Radio.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Radio.
Peace to the gods. What's going on? Welcome to the More Empire Building Show, where we talk about doing commerce and building our nation back to where it needs to be. Thanks to everybody that's tuning in tonight. Before I get into anything, I wanted to remind everybody that Charlotte, we still have the seminar going on this Saturday. The weather is going to be good here in North Carolina. We probably won't see any issues here until probably Tuesday or Wednesday. Or maybe Monday, that's what they're saying. But we're good over here. No warnings or anything coming our way. I just pray for everybody that's in the Florida, you know, to heed those evacuation orders, get out of there. This is, you know, we can always replace stuff, but you can't replace that life. You know, I was doing some studying today, and on some things. And that's why I played that. I usually play that clip, Statism is a Religion. Talking about government is really a religion. And I have something that I read today that actually confirms that. That goes along with what we've been teaching in the seminars about correcting a birth certificate, how important it is to correct the nationality. You know, once again, Saturday, 9 to 3 in Charlotte at the Wingate by Wyndham Charlotte, 4238 Business Center Drive, 28214. We'll be teaching that. The donation is $250 online or at the door. If you come to the door, pay cash. It's going to be myself, Jonah Bay, Joey Bounce Out Bay. We all going to be there. Everything's looking good. And we got some exciting things to talk about. We're going to talk about that. Then, you know, we got Pennsylvania coming up in a couple of weeks after this. Then we have New York City. That's going to be a three-day event. We're going to be really bringing it, man. I got some good news. I got some good stuff to tell y'all related to the CPN. Actually, yesterday, I got me another whip with the CPN. This time, I went top-notch with it, you know. That's what I keep trying to tell you. You guys got to start off slow with this thing. Some of y'all want to jump out and go to the top. You got to build it just like it took for your elites. You got to build it up and be honorable. But, you know, we'll talk about that at the seminar. I'll post some pictures of what I put, you know, on Facebook so y'all can see it. Yeah, Jonah's like, why you ain't posting them? Let them know how's it going down, how we doing it. I'm going to do it. I'm gonna put it up there. If anybody is with me on Facebook, I'm about to post it right now while I'm on the air. There you go. Give me a second. It's coming. It's coming. There you go. All right. Now, what I wanted to read to y'all tonight before we talk about if anybody wants to talk about their business and how we can work together and do some investments, whatever we want to do to build. I wanted to read y'all the Plantation Act of 1740. Also, a.k.a. the Naturalization Act of 1740. And it shows how they use, well, you know what? I'm not going to tell you what it says. I'm just going to read it. Here it is. The Plantation, let me put the link in the chat. It's right, you know, I'll trust the Wikipedia. Those that's in the chat. There it is. The Plantation Act of the Naturalization or the Naturalization Act of 1740 are common names used for an act of the British Parliament that was officially titled an act for naturalizing such foreign Protestants and others therein mentioned as are settled or shall settle in any of His Majesty's colonies in America. The act became effective 1 June 1740. So June 1st, 1740 is when this became active and allowed a Protestant alien residing in any of the American colonies for 7 years without being absent from that colony for more than 2 months, will be deemed to be one of Majesty's natural-born subjects of the kingdom. The act also required making specific declarations concerning royal allegiance and succession, profession of the Christian faith, and the payment of 2 shillings. Compared to other alternatives available at the time, the act provided a cheap and easy method of imperial naturalization, and the length of residency was not unreasonable. So basically, you could naturalize under the British Parliament by making a declaration and swearing allegiance to the Christian faith. So what was happening, you know, I was reading other stuff. I read how people from China, when they came, they had to have, y'all thought we the only ones that had a traveling card, huh? They had to have a passport a local passport from the state saying that they were lawful to be there. And they had to show it. And if they didn't show it, they was getting shipped back or in prison. Well, let's go back to the background. Reflecting the situation in Britain, the necessary profession of Christian faith was distinctly Protestant and specifically Anglican. The act was not intended for conscientious Roman Catholics, and they were referred to in the law as papists. Exceptions, however, for non-conforming religious scruples and conscience were made in the case of Quakers and Jews. So they made exceptions for Quakers and Jews. Adherents of both faiths were allowed to dispense with the sacramental test, with the former being allowed to affirm the oaths and the latter being relieved of the obligation to repeat the words upon the true faith of Christian at the end of the oath or abjuration required by the Act of Settlement since 1701. So basically, you had to swear oath to the Christian faith or affirm it. Now, why am I reading this? Why am I going over this? What does this have to do with what we've been talking about? It has a lot to do with it, because this is how we got caught up. We got caught up the same way. And everybody's doing it to this day. When you have a child, what do? They bring you a piece of paper to fill out. And you have to sign it, basically. You don't actually verbally swear some type of oath, but you swear, you sign under penalty and perjury. It's the same thing. And you swear oath to be what? Black, African-American, Negro, colored, whatever, you know, just now it's African-American. Before it was Negro, then it, in some areas, colored. Right? But do you know when you fill out that paperwork, they automatically assume that you're a Christian? That's the assumption. All the courts are operating on a Christian theology. That's why when you go into courts, you have to let them know where your faith lies. See, now government is not supposed to be participating in religious anything, but for some reason, the schools celebrate Christmas. It's automatic. That is the main religion that is promoted in schools and all governmental buildings. They put up the Christmas wreaths. They say Merry Christmas around the office. Now, anybody with another faith, you know, they get acknowledged, but it's not like being a Christian. So what I'm saying is, all of our faiths come from what? Basically made it a requirement. In order to be a part of them, you had to swear to these religions. Now let's go back to contents. The Plantation Act was enacted to systematize naturalization procedures in all localities, as well as to encourage immigration to the American colonies. The Act provided a workable naturalization procedure by empowering colonial courts to administer the oath of allegiance to aliens. The secretaries of colonies were required under penalty to send annual lists of such persons to the commissioners of trade and plantation. The Act endowed colonial courts with the responsibility of deciding when alien petitioners had fulfilled the statutory requirements for imperial citizenship. In proprietary colonies, the judges were appointed by colonial governors and thus represented the royal or proprietary interests. However, by delegating authority to colonial officials, Parliament subjected naturalization to the pressure of the same local interest groups that increasingly defied the governor's efforts to implement royal and proprietary instructions on other issues. Despite the penalties imposed under the Act, only 6 secretaries of the 13 American colonies and 1 in the West Indies submitted the mandated list. Development. In England, during the 17th and 18th centuries, several basic statutes applied to naturalization, but these statutes would not include many aliens in the colonies who were considered an integral part of the colonial community. Over the same time period, the American provinces, except New Hampshire, passed their own naturalization laws. which grants the citizenship to people living within their province. These laws were based more on local colonial interpretations or community citizenship than on stricter considerations in the mother country, but they gave no rights beyond their borders. The situation was initially accepted as positive and workable in England, but proved to be too inconsistent with the broader imperial intentions as time passed. It began withdrawing support to promote immigration to the colonies at the end of the Seven Years' War. Colonial implementation, both before and after the Plantation Act, tended to ignore, evade, and reshape English regulations, thus vitiating many policy decisions and generating a chaotic array of citizenship procedures. Basically, people started rebelling against this, because I take it when people started annexing themselves or taking these oaths, they had bigger problems. So they stopped doing it. The Navigation Acts were a particular target for invasion, since they were seen as acting more as restraint on both colonial naturalization and its people's ability to take part fully in the economy. Colonial naturalization of aliens was outright forbidden in December 1773 under any conditions. A ban on royal land grants initiated earlier in 1717 was made final in February 1774. The colonial naturalization laws of Plantation Act, during its nearly 30-year utilization, would define British North America as a refuge and land of opportunity. The prohibition on naturalizing foreigners under the Act was considered intolerable and would be included inter alia in the grievances listed in the Declarations of Independence. Though some consider that surprising, despite being a British law, the Plantation Act was the model upon which the first U.S. Naturalization Act with respect to time, oath of allegiance, process of swearing before a judge, and the like was clearly based. So this was the start of how they started naturalizing. And then it has evolved into what we see today. And basic naturalizing now is for us who are born on in any U.S. territory, is based on the birth certificate. That is a naturalization act when you fill that out. So I just wanted to go over that, let y'all know. You know, we have these religions we practice in, but most of it was by force or to be a part of something, to get some benefit. All right, that's it. So, you know, it's Thursday. A couple of days we'll be doing a seminar in right here in Charlotte. So what I'm going to do is go to the phone lines, and I want to talk to who got some commerce ideas. I want to hear it. This is not the day to talk about your problems. Yesterday was that day, or next Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday. Why, you know, people just be sending their problems through Facebook, talking about how they got problems with, and want me to fix their problems through Facebook, and they always throw sob stories at you. Well, I'm homeless, I got this going on. You know, I mean, you know, I feel for anybody that's homeless. I hope everything works out, but Facebook is not the place to contact me with that type of stuff. All right, let's go to first call, 313-740.
What up, Akeem? Pure energy, God.
Pure energy, what's going on, brother?
Oh, what it do? What it do?
Nothing much.
That was deep info, bro. That was some deep info off that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just one of them. There's a bunch of acts. I just read that one. How they use religion, you had to swear to the Christian faith to even get naturalized.
Yeah. That's insane right there, man. I mean, so what if you weren't a Christian? You know, so like just like you said, see, that's tripping me out, because, you know, in order to get them people, you got to remember back in them days, them people was like, you know, running from feudal stuff, you know, from a feudal society.
Right.
Oh, yep. Swearing faith to that. And then you get protection you know, maybe some food, ration of beans and some rice and some protection. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Golly, man, that's crazy. Man,
right.
So y'all always coming up with something, boy. Man, putting us up.
Yeah, so what's going on?
Oh, man, slow motion. You know, just doing it one day at a time out here in the D, man.
You
know, I'm talking to a couple of guys up here, and we trying to see what's the deal on these vacant lots. Matter of fact, Chris Bay pulling up right now. We about to go over, you know, some of the info that was said in the seminar, and we about to go over, you know, trying to get these properties. Hey, did you get my email? I never
got your
email.
Wait a minute. What was the email address? Did you text it to me? Okay, I got it. I see something you sent me today.
Oh, no, that's I want you to read that too, though. But Bill Gates said he's giving out money for people forwarding these emails. Just for people who know, you know. I've seen this years ago,
but okay. I didn't. I never got any money.
Right. I just read it, man. You know what I'm saying? Any information I can try to pass on, you know, that looks legitimate. You know what I'm saying? I try to pass it on, man. You know,
right.
So,
let me see something.
Let's try to figure out,
I'm trying
man,
to look
you know,
for the email that you sent me.
Yeah.
I only got this one that you sent me.
Yeah, it should be just my, you can have my email, man. It's setbay1. At Gmail, SEC.
I got it now. I got the one, but I don't have the one you said you sent me the last week.
Oh, I think that was the one I just sent you.
Okay. All right. Got it.
Because you said you was getting a new number. You was going to give it, put it in that email.
Oh, yeah. I will do that. That's it. I'll do it right now for you.
All right, for sure, bro. All right, man. Hey, just love the topic. I love the new show, man. Like I say, Chris Bay said, what up? Peace to the God. We about to put these
words
together. And we making it happen, man.
All right, brother. All right, peace.
All right, peace.
All right. All right, let's keep it moving. 484-721.
Peace, brother Akeem. What's going on?
Peace. What's going on?
Oh, man.
What's up? I'm researching
the land, man. What's going on with the land?
The land?
I've been researching the land, man. That's a pretty hot topic, ain't it, man?
The land?
Researching the land laws and stuff.
But what in particular be related to the land?
Okay, like, you know, when you get raw land, and you usually have to set up the septic stuff, and you have to get the wells, and you have to do, you know, get all that stuff set up because it's raw. That right there.
Right, you talking about digging a well and all of that stuff? Yeah. Okay. Now, what about it? Hello. You there?
Yeah, you went out.
I said, but what about it? What do you mean? What are you researching the land? You about to buy some land?
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's
all
what
right.
It's for.
Yeah,
man.
Okay. All
right. Right. So, like, you know, just coming out here, I was just trying to get on the
show. You got a bad signal. You going in and out, brother.
Hold on, one second. Okay.
All right, hello?
Yeah.
All right, how's that? Is that a little better?
Oh, it's much better.
Cool. Yeah, man, I'm out in PA. So, I was looking at the, the land records and researching the land office and calling all of them up. And then what I was doing was I was researching these land offers out here that's around here in the country and stuff. And there's a lot. There's a lot.
Well, it's a lot of land around for sure.
Right? It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that those are opportunities right there, man. You know, those are opportunities right there. If we could master what I just said in the beginning.
Anytime when you're dealing with land, there's always opportunity.
Yeah. You know, I think that's where we need to go, man. I don't know. I think that's what I'm going to keep on doing research in.
Well, that's what we need to do, because isn't that what they did when they came here? They came for the land.
Yeah.
Because if they got it, then they can control anything on that land. So that's what we need to do.
That's exactly where I'm doing. That's exactly everything what I'm all about, and that's what I'm talking about. That's what it. That's what I'm. That's why the everything that what you guys are teaching and everything every night is resonating so high, because I'm putting it with this stuff. I'm putting that information into doing these types of things. So, you know, like I said, this is good to have this topic on every Thursday like this, bro. We can rap.
Right.
But I think
we're gonna people gotta start getting on board, start using their thinking caps, and start getting with it, you know, because I'm sure we can put something together.
That's what I'm talking about. I think the answer lies in that step where we were talking before, you know, mastering. Mm-hmm. Getting the people, the contractors, to come in and build the wells, get the water up from the underground, and because doesn't water run underground all throughout everywhere?
Yeah, that's how they dig the well. They stick a tube down there, to capture the water. It's like natural springs run up under the ground within so many feet. So you can pretty much tap into water anywhere if you dig deep enough. Yeah, that's how people get water in rural areas. They don't have city water. They tap into wells.
See, that's what I said.
Now,
here's
the thing about that, right? They tapping into a well, right? And they show you how the water companies is just getting over, right?
Yeah.
If I can move on some rural land and put a well in and have a pump attached to it, and pump that water out of there without any filters, nothing. There's no filters on that water, no processing, and I could just drink that water with no problem? Huh?
Yes, it's clean.
No fluoride.
Yeah,
I know, I've been in houses with well water.
Okay.
Most people who, you know, in rural areas, they'll get a trailer, put it on some land, and they'll have somebody come in. I know back in the day, you know, when I knew people that did it, they were charging $300 to tap a well. Shoot, even in these areas, like if you stay in a subdivision where there's a bunch of houses, you can get well water. And you can set up a well and set up your whole irrigation system off your well, so that you don't run up a water bill. But see, it's the cities that require people in these neighborhoods to connect to the city water.
Okay.
You know, or you can't have it. If you don't have a connection to city water in these neighborhoods, then they condemn the house, right? Or house, no one can live there. Water under the house there.
Yeah, there's water under the house. I can have
someone tap a well, I would get in trouble if I did that.
Because it's already inside the
against
city.
The ordinances. But, you know the Constitution. Yeah. You know?
Right. It would be a fight with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, I'm thinking about just going places where there's nothing at, man.
Well, you'd probably be better off, because when shit hit the fan, ain't nobody out there to fuck with you.
And develop. You know what I mean? Develop where nothing's at, and just start like that, man. Have everything within the codes, the laws, and make sure everything is tight. And yeah, I don't see any. Okay, because I was doing the knowledge on the research on those prices. They got it seems like they got it broken down into three things. They got the septic, they got the well, and they.
Yeah, you're gonna have to get a septic tank put in and the well, two separate things.
That's
the septic
too.
Tank
okay.
is just a tank they put in the ground where all your waste would go. But the way that works is it has a way for it to, like it doesn't stay in the septic tank. They have a way for it to get into the soil and fertilize the soil.
I like
the
that.
Way they build them. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
And that's all, again, for the people listening, that's just contracts between your business that you have going. That we're setting up between you and those contractors doing the work to build the stuff, to build that well or whatever, right? That's what we're talking about, right?
Right. You have to contract with somebody to do all that for you.
That's it. That's it. Right.
Somebody put a well in, somebody put a septic tank in. Yeah.
I keep that tight, man. That's hot, man. I believe that's hot. And I like Septimius.
In the South, that's a very common thing in the rural South. A lot of times when people buy their house and they build it, they have it all built into the package. You even have to have somebody put in a light pole and connect to the power. All that has to be done.
Man, that's crazy. All right. Man, that gives me more fuel to keep moving forward. Okay. Yeah, man. Well, the septic and stuff got me. It wasn't really expensive for those things as I looked at the average prices for them. They were talking about, well, the most they said 20,000 to 30,000. Depending on how far you have to go to the nearest water connection or the nearest. So, like, if you could just do some research before you buy the land on how far that is and all of that, you can pretty much get one that's cheap, real close to something, tap into it, and keep on moving.
Right.
Right. And I like that, man. I'm all
right, bro. Let me move on.
All right, my bro. Oh, I'm gonna hit you up with an email tonight.
Okay. All right.
All
right. No problem.
All right. Peace.
All right. Just a little info. See, this is why we tell y'all to stop using them socials, right? So Equifax got hacked back in between May and July. They got some. 143 million people are affected by this. They got some 209,000 credit cards. They got driver's license numbers, all that. So they've been hacked, and they got the information. So who knows what they're gonna do with that? So y'all better be checking y'all accounts because somebody got your info. But, how it go. If you're not using the social, you being private, you ain't got to worry about all that. You ain't got to worry about checking straw man and stuff and all that. But anyway, let's move on to the next caller. Where was I? Kind of lost my place there. 516-507. Hello? Going on to the next one. 916-761. Nobody want to talk about commerce. Y'all just want to talk about your problems. I know. I got problems. 916-761. They're not answering. 412-592. See, this show tells me a lot. Peace to the God.
What's up, Akeem? How are you?
Doing all right.
All right. Yeah, I caught the tail end of you going over the that first Naturalization Act, so that sounded pretty good. And, yeah, that was some good info. But one thing I wanted to mention, now on the show, this show on Thursdays is about how to create commerce with each other and different ideas for people just to create commerce amongst themselves, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay. You know one thing? Here's a brother named Brother Garfield, and I'm from the Dagger Squad. They be on YouTube, but up in New York. But they got two sisters on there, and they specialize in helping people get set up with government contracts. Because that's an area that we miss out on. Because, of course, you know,
and getting contracts to do what? Because, you know, anytime you're fooling with the government, you got to use that social.
What type of contracts are you talking about? Well, it's like government contracts, like, say, in construction field, cleanup, and things like that. Because she was just on a show last Sunday, and she said someone that went down Houston, a contract, they got like a $2.3 million contract to go down there and do some cleanup work. I don't know how many with the workforce that they got to create. But I know even though it's government, because I know also like in the construction field, like what a lot of contractors do, they'll have their wife, their daughter, or maybe their girlfriend, and they'll have 51% ownership, and that way they're guaranteed, because of course they're considered a minority. So that's how they get all them contracts coming to them, and they get a lot of money for doing that kind of stuff. So even though it's government, and how on hindsight everybody being taught to be private, so even like that, couldn't somebody still like be on the back end and let that other person, like you say, a trustee?
Yeah, you can have somebody work it in the, you know, be the, put their name on paper, but, and you basically have a company set up, maybe a trust.
I'm going to try to check in on that information some more, because they specialize, and they specialize heavy, and they always pushing that. That's something that we need to get into, because there's tons and tons and tons of money that they really they're giving out. But we're not taking advantage of it because we're scared of it. We're scared of all the paperwork that has to be done. Because
It's a lot of paperwork and checks and balances and all of that. Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's a whole lot. It's a whole lot. But when you think about it,
we can do our own commerce with each other. We have having to get a governmental contract and depend on them to pay us. We have it amongst ourselves. We spend it every day in stores. Instead of spending and giving it away, we can do it through investing.
And also, that's one idea I just wanted to throw out. But you know, another idea, I got catalogs on it. You know how people be at different festivals and carnivals, and they be selling funnel cakes, popcorn, caramelized popcorn. Do you know that is right now, that industry right now, I think is a $10 billion industry just in that area alone. So when you go to the amusement parks, you go to the, like I said, festivals, you go to flea markets, people are making funnel cakes. If you got the right equipment, you can, depending on the size of the crowd, funnel cakes go anywhere from $7 to $12, depending on how much they go. I mean, depending on what somebody goes. If you can sell six funnel cakes, you make six funnel cakes in 3 minutes, and if you're doing that clockwork for 10, 12 hours,
they make more than that,
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the low.
At a fair.
So those kind of ideas, because I got catalogs on that kind, and the equipment is not expensive. And if you think of just to get the,
those those fears are good ideas. Here's the deal. You make thousands, you know. You can make, I know someone who does airbrushing, and they make $20,000, you know, in a week of doing that, right, or more. So the problem with those fears is it's a good old boy system. If you notice who's running the stands, it's good old boys. And the fears have set it up. Most of the fears, especially here in South Carolina, North Carolina, they know they have their regulars who've been coming for 20, 30 years or more. And they've passed these businesses down to their children.
Right.
Where they buy up the space in advance. Like, if they're doing a fair this year, they pay for their space for next year.
No doubt.
So, and then they have the no-compete thing. So if someone's coming in with certain things, they you can't come up with something. So if you're not part of their network, they're going to charge you more sometimes. How do you know what they're charging everybody else? And especially when it comes to food, they try to lock color out of that business. I know several people that went into those fairs. And they'll find one little thing and kick them out of the fair. Like one little infraction. Whereas the other vendors are doing the same thing, but they'll just so that they can kick them out, they'll find something to kick them out. So it's a good old boy network. Now, that's something we need to take over. You know, bring more of us. Because think about it. When you go to these fairs, there's a lot of us at these fairs. But the people that's running those businesses in those fairs are not people that look like us. You see what I'm saying?
I understand.
Go to the fair just so they can buy the food. And when you think about it, you're going to the fair just to give away your money to another group of people. You know, we need to start thinking about doing business with each other first. And I've been to fairs and I saw where there are black businesses who set up their food vendors' booths, and people will walk by them.
Well, you know, of course, any non-melanated people, they're not going to buy nothing from a melanated person. Because I did business like that at some of them venues where we had, like, I was selling shea butter, and before all that stuff popular, jewelry, and all kind of stuff, and they used to just walk by and say, oh, nice stuff.
Now, here's the thing. Are they wrong for doing that? For not buying it from non-elevated people?
No, that's what
they're doing business with their own.
The problem is
we don't do that. We need to follow their example.
No question.
And if we follow their example, since we're the number one consumers, it would change the whole landscape of how people do business. If we start making it a priority to build our communities first, see, we cannot blame people for why we are not being prosperous, our communities are run down, because we're not taking responsibility to do anything about it. You know, we have to take responsibility. We have to build will there be powers that try to get in our way and stop us, but if we remain a unified people and say we're not going to put up with that, have our own security team, whatever, that will stop. The problem is they know that we're not unified, and all they have to do is give us a little opposition and we're all scattered like ants or roaches.
No question. Yes, indeed.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, indeed.
But if we remain consistent, we're not consistent. And now these so-called leaders that they have today are not talking about that. They're talking about going to a HBCU college and learning how to work for somebody else. That's what they're talking about. They keep promoting the idea of, you know, making someone else rich. I've known I've come in contact with quite a few millionaires, and most of them didn't even finish. Didn't go to college.
And most of them didn't finish high school.
They didn't finish, you know, a couple of them I know didn't even finish high school, had GEDs. You know, I had one tell me, and I asked him, well, why did you go to school? He said, like, why should I waste my money on school when I can hire somebody that went to school and work for me? That's a waste. Mm-hmm. I know a guy, his business family owns a bunch of business, and he couldn't read. He knew how to count money, but he couldn't read. Mm-hmm. He couldn't help his daughter mm-hmm. with his own work. But their family had mm-hmm. businesses doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
So if education and getting a college degree was the indicator for success,
we should
have more millionaires.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? No, mm-hmm. education is a recipe for being a slave. The current education system that we have today is a recipe for working for people, slaving for
mm-hmm.
people. It's not a recipe for entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
You got to learn that on your own.
Yeah, you know the greatest entrepreneurs who become wealthy are the people with the hustler mentality. They don't stop at one thing. They keep going, and they're always being creative in their mind. That's why most people, a lot of brothers and sisters who are former drug dealers, and they got that same hustle mentality, they create a lot of wealth for themselves also once they leave that life alone because they got that mentality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got that hustle mentality. I can't settle for this and be somebody's slave. Because
mm-hmm.
most of them, they try to give it up. They try to say, okay, I'm going to school. I'm going to get a job. Next thing you know, they're so used to making millions hustling, and his job is paying them just barely over minimum, and the majority of them go right back to that negative lifestyle.
Right.
Because
mm-hmm.
they can't see themselves slaving themselves like that, so they'll rather go back and enslave the community by selling poison.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, those are just some ideas I just want to throw out, you know, just to jog people's minds, you know, to say, okay, there's just so many things we got to do. But, yeah, you're right. The number one thing is supporting each other.
Mm-hmm.
Spending our money as much as we can with one another. Yeah, I don't blame no other community.
There's no excuses. There's enough opportunity for us to have something in every sector that support each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's something like, mm-hmm. you know, everybody buys clothes, everybody buys food. You know, if you want to eat healthier, there's, you know, they got farming market in every state that you can go buy the food. You know, there's a flea market in South Carolina. And when I used to go to the flea market years ago, I used to sell out there. And, you know, I used to sell my satellites and stuff out in South Carolina. And it was
mm-hmm.
mainly rednecks who ran that flea market, right? Now,
right. Mm-hmm.
To show you how we can take over, now that same flea market today is run by Mexicans.
Mm-hmm.
So what did they do? What did the Mexicans do? They
mm-hmm.
were not getting jobs with other people, and a lot of their jobs were seasonal because a lot of them were doing landscaping, and that's seasonal because during the winter, it ain't too much landscaping going on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, you know, especially a lot of them are undocumented. So they figured out a way, well, I can go make money at the flea market. But how
mm-hmm.
did they take over the flea market? How did they take over? Because when their people came to buy something, they didn't go to no one else but their people.
They went right to them. Right to each other.
And now they pretty much run the flea market. They have, you could go get tires from them. You could buy seafood. They have a ass of produce and vegetables and all of that stuff, stands set up there now. They have it sold out.
Right.
Now, you have a few other vendors out there. We're out there now. A lot of us are out there. But when you look at who is organized, they are. Everything
mm-hmm.
you can go there, you can go to the Mexican, you can get fruits, vegetables. If you need a tire, if you need rims, you can go there.
Mm-hmm.
Tools, they have that. They have everything you need. So what they did
mm-hmm.
was, okay, they're all family and they're working together because they have different tables, but this table was specialized in this produce and that table was specialized in that produce. But when it comes to produce, it don't really matter who got what because people are going to buy it.
Right.
You have
mm-hmm.
10 tables with the same thing on it. People are going to buy produce, you know, but they all sell them at the same price. Same price.
Right.
And then they have a table that sell you the accessories for your phone.
Mm-hmm.
All within a one little area. So what I'm saying is we can do the same thing.
We can do the
and
same
that wasn't
thing.
Less than 20 years ago, the rednecks ran it.
Yep.
And now, 20 years later, they run it. How
yep.
did they do it?
Mm-hmm.
They shut everybody mm-hmm. else by not giving the other people their money. They
mm-hmm.
gave it to their people. Made them
mm-hmm.
all successful, and then everybody slowly took over. I remember when I went to the flea market, and I would sell satellites and stuff like that. And I went to this particular table because the signal for the satellite was good for me, so I could set up a TV, have a bunch of satellite dishes in boxes set up, and it'd be on Sunday because that's when football was out. I made most of my money in the winter, not in the summer, because of the football season.
Right.
I turned the game on, and I would have a bunch of people standing. You know, the husbands that don't want to walk around with their wife would come stand by my booth and watch the game. And then that conversations would spark up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're buying satellites. And I had the idea, well, you know, everybody needs cable, so I would go, I'd get a 1,000-foot of cable for like $50, and I would sell it by the
mm-hmm.
foot, $1 a foot.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
I can make $1,000. If I'm selling $1,000 a foot, I'm only paying them $50 for this box. So that means I can make $950 if I sell it $1 a foot.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not $950 off one roll of cable. Then I would sell other little accessories. Now, when this is show you how other groups of people will treat you when you're successful. So usually I would buy my table up for a month, right? This one Sunday, I forgot. I got distracted, and I didn't, and the office closed before I could do it. So when I came back the next Sunday, don't you know, the next people, they were selling these, like, candles, these homemade candles that they had there.
Mm-hmm.
And they bought that table that I was at so that I couldn't set up.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do stupid shit like that. Now,
mm-hmm.
I tell you this story because a lot of those redneck type mentality people were not good business people. They were they were so proud and arrogant that they would stand by on their table and wouldn't even talk to people, wouldn't even say hello to people to get them to buy stuff from us. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Hold on a second. I gotta take this call with my daughter. Hold on one second, brother. Hold on.
Okay. No doubt.
All right, hold on.
Well, I ain't in the car. I'm sitting in the car. I'm on the radio, so I'll be cool. We got to be on hold right now. Yeah, I'm on the phone. My finger got chilly. Where you at? Get up here, Lou.
Table up, and you know, all I had to do was get two tables down, and I was able to set up no problem. Didn't stop my money, didn't do anything. But there's people out there that will purposely not do business with you, for one thing. They will purposely try to set you up so that you can't make any money, but you can't let that stop you. That didn't stop me. That moving me down to the tables down did not stop me. Now, they were selling these BS candles. Hardly anybody bought them. They're not in business today. So they spent more time trying to keep people like myself out of business than keeping themselves in business.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So those, what I'm saying is those mentalities are dying. There's a few people still out there like that. But right now, it's about the green.
Yes,
it's
indeed.
It's about the green. Now, a lot of people complain about Mexicans, or they only do business with their own, which is a great thing. I applaud them for that. But they will do business with you if they trust you. I've done business with plenty of Mexicans. Actually, I've had some of them work with me, work for me, and they were some of the best people to work with. I didn't have to put up with all of the BS. All they wanted to do was make money, because a lot of those guys are out there working because they're sending money back home. So they need
right.
that bread. And they
yeah,
do
no
what
doubt.
They need to do to get the bread.
Mm-hmm.
We have become complacent as a people, and we're looking for handouts. If you haven't noticed, they're not giving out handouts like that. And the ones that are getting
mm-hmm.
handouts are living in poverty.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how I want to live. And I yeah. the reason why we're accepting those little Trump breadcrumbs, and it's keeping our people in a bad state.
Mm-hmm. Well, you remember how so. Dr. Claude Anderson so kindly put it, even though we have failed, he's like, if we don't do something with our economic situation, we're going to move down to the fourth and fifth classes in this country. And that's what we are. We are being replaced.
We got to get it together. They have come here and moved past us. Why?
Yep.
Because they work as a unit.
Yep.
A
remember
unit.
When he tried to get the all-black business district in Detroit, and them Negroes shot him down like, man, get out of here with that. We want to spend our money with everybody else.
Right. And now another thing we got to work on right now. Now, I said redneck. Now, that when I say redneck, that's the type of person we would call white that is just ignorant and would not do business with you and try to judge you just on the basis of your color. Now, there are white folks
mm-hmm.
that I do business with all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't mind doing business with me because all
right.
they see is, am I getting a benefit out of this transaction? And there's plenty of that. And I have made great money working with white folks.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of money. I've had more problems working with my own people than I had working with white folks or any other group. And I'm just being honest. That's just my experience.
Right.
That's how come I know we got to get it together. And the reason why we're in these positions is because somewhere along the line, our ancestors did the same thing. Started screwing each other.
Mm-hmm.
Started doing bad business with each other. And we got to face that reality. First, we got to look ourselves in the mirror and see where we fit in and how we're going to correct our own problem. And that's just it. You know, I do business all the time. And the most aggravation I get is from people that look like me.
Mm-hmm.
People that broke in my house with somebody that look like me.
No
you
question.
Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when I sit here and I talk about bad experiences, a lot of came from people that look like me. We doing out to each other in. We gotta get out of that mindset for real.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yes
brother.
Indeed. Yes indeed. All right, yeah. Thanks for that, man. Thanks for taking my call, and that was some good info we shared with one another.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the good ideas.
Have a good night,
all
brother. Peace.
All right. You too. All right. Let's keep it moving. Let me see. Somebody was trying to get in. I'm trying to find his number. I hadn't talked to this man in a while. Look forward to talking with him. I'm trying to get him to get what his number is. Joe, that's what I'm looking for, your number. What's your number? What does it start with? Just hit me in a minute. Hang on, I'm just hitting him with a message. Okay, I thought that was you. I just want to make sure. All right, you was actually next. All right, 916-761. What's going on, Joe? Can you hear me?
Yeah,
you sound a little muffled. Sound like you're underwater there.
You better?
That's much better. There you go. Much better.
There you go. Good, good. Now, yeah, I turned that off. How you been? Good to hear from you.
I'm doing good. Good.
Good. Peace, man. Peace. Yeah, it's been a long time. Hell, a year at least. Son of a gun.
Yeah.
Hey, to get back to the what you were talking about, the Mexicans there. I'm born and raised Mexican-American. Good people to work for. Yeah, just solid.
Oh, yeah.
They'll work their butt off for you, man. So that's good. Hey, I got a couple of quick questions. These are going to need some consults, but I just wanted to touch bases. I kind of lost the connection with MS, so I've kind of been kind of chiming back in with you guys. So, one.
Okay. MS, who's that? Oh.
Settle.
Oh, I talked to him like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, you did? Boy, he's back. He's back out there dealing with mom and dad. I can't get him to call me back. So it's all good.
Oh, okay.
But anyhow,
he's a hit or miss. I think the last time I talked to him, he was still in Hawaii. That was about
He's still back there. I think Maria went back, and then he's back out there hanging out with the parents and whatnot. So, but I've been chiming back in, getting back into the groove a little bit, as I got a couple of issues. One is going to be and we'll go deep into it. I'll call you back for some consults, but I just wanted to kind of get a brief.
Right.
So I got this EDD claim, right? Had a business.
Okay.
They went into we did an audit, gave us an audit number, said, hey, you owe us for this. Well, the EDD a third-party debt collector?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Well, the IRS is
a third-party debt collector. They're all third-party.
What's that? Well, so I rewrote. Okay, so in that particular letter that I get from them saying, hey, we owe you this, even though the debt event hasn't even been finalized, but I can rewrite the debt collection letter and send it to them with... Now, when you go into that third-party debt collector letter, it has some case studies that go back to Supreme Court, go back into Pennsylvania. Are those still valid in California?
Yes, it still works. It works perfectly.
Okay.
Now, I would also send them my IRS letter as well, because it's going to ask them to show you what law are you using to even come up with these numbers.
Correct.
Now, are
that
they coming after the business, or are they coming after you as an individual?
Well, they're coming after the LLC, which was the business we had closed probably 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That spa business we closed 4 years ago. So they were coming after that LLC, but now one of the partners, they're trying to say, hey, we're going to attach your federal refund because you owe us this on that. Okay, so...
you need that letter. You need that letter.
Yeah, I rewrote it. I mean, we have it. So I rewrote that for another particular case, which I'll go into. So okay. So we'll talk about that one. That should work with the EDD. So the other one is a 2005 default case. I had this guy that was going to sell a business. He claims I signed a piece of paper. $35,000 if he sells the business. He never sold the business. So to this day, this collection company has this debt. It went from $35,000 to $135,000.
Mm-hmm.
So this debt collection company has it. Had a bunch of attorneys hanging out just, you know, trying to be criminals. And so they called me a few weeks ago going, hey, if you don't pay us this money, I hear you got a golf course and We're going to go in there and do it.
They don't want a third-party debt collector letter.
Yeah.
Third-party debt collector letter.
Now, do I, you know how Jonah put all those names on the third page there, or the fifth page, whatever, from the IRS to the sheriffs to the governor, blah, 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 blah. Should I add that into it, or should I just do the two pages first? Because I'm technically not sending those out to those people originally. I'm just going to certify, set it, you know, the third-party debt collection letter and go. And so what would you do in that case?
In that
case,
I would actually send it out to the, who is it, the comptroller?
Yeah, the third-party debt collector, the owner of that company.
Mm-hmm.
Send it to him. And let him go. You know, he hasn't done anything because I had called, you know, all my buddies who were all playing that little circle of attorneys, and they go, he has nothing, man. He can't do shit. So you're not gonna, you know, don't worry about it. Just let it go to bed.
Hit them with the third party debt collector letter. Now they're gonna try to use that wasn't a consumer debt, so that doesn't apply. But what you want to do is, on anything that they're trying to come after, remember, it's attorneys. You don't owe them anything.
Right.
So you just write them, hey, listen, I don't have a contract with you. I never agreed to pay you anything. Do not contact me anymore. They still fall under third-party debt collector.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, that's
they're looking
to
make money. What they're trying to do is try to attach to your golf course.
Exactly. And the thing that I did, now let me tell you what I do with the golf course. You know, first, right off the bat, I said, I don't own the golf course. Not my name. It's an LLC. In those contracts that I originally signed to get the golf course, it was all rights reserved without the United States, UCC 1-308, blah, blah, blah. So, and I did them.
They can't come after that. They can't come after that LLC.
They can't. So the governing laws in those contracts, there is, you know how most of those guys want to put that governed by the laws of the state of California or wherever, you know, whatever state they're in. I made sure that that was not in these contracts. So they really have nothing, right? So
no.
Third-party debt collection letter, then leave it at that.
A commercial debt collector is very easy to get rid of.
Right.
I had to dig in my emails because I had a commercial company come after my LLC.
Right.
And I sent them a third-party debt collector, and they said they can ignore it, right?
Right.
But I sent them an email called Refuse for Cause, and I'll find the email, and I'll give you the verbiage that you need to send them. And once they stopped.
Okay, well, we'll work on it. I'll give you a call, because I didn't know. I mean, because this is Jonah's original letter.
Right. For commercial debts, you have to use the UCC.
Exactly.
You have to use
the
UCC.
This is the one that says notice of claim dispute, notice to agent is notice to principal. Notice to principal is notice to agent, applicable to all successes.
That's a consumer debt collecting letter. That's a consumer debt collection letter. It's not commercial.
So we...
But you can still use it. You just have to tweak it with certain verbiage, and I have the verbiage.
Okay, perfect. Good. That's right. Because I rewrote it, then I can cut and paste on it. Okay.
Right.
It's
only about
like 3 hours.
Sentences. It's only three sentences.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
So,
okay. So
not long.
All right. I'll get on the website.
They
we'll do
contacted
a consult.
Me by email, and I just sent this email back to them. And once I sent that email, they never contacted me again.
Right.
After I
well, they have
that.
No,
now, when
they
I was using
no
the third-party debt collector letter, they kept calling. They kept harassing me about it. And then I found the verbiage that I needed, and I put it on there. And
that stopped it. Okay.
For commercial. It's commercial.
It's different a little bit. Yeah, because, see, this one goes into, in that first paragraph, I've received your fraudulent unsigned abstract of judgment, civil. See, now this is an old civil. Now, let me ask you this. It's an old civil claim, right, from 2005. And so this knucklehead keeps going back and renews it. So he had just renewed it. He must have found out that we had the golf. And so he renewed it. And where do I need to look for? Isn't there something that says, isn't it 14th Amendment or in the Constitution where it's if a debt has not been cleared in 7 years, it's abolished. What the hell is
right,
that?
Right, but see, I think that's on the consumer level. Commercial is
well,
UCC,
okay.
So you got to study to see what debt collection rules they have to fall under. It's still it's still a third party. They still you don't owe them anything, but you have to
the original default notice that this guy, one of his buddies, said, "Hey, go try to get some money from Tafoya," of 2005 is in the in Legas name, which there is no in Legas, and then a bunch of my old companies that do not exist anymore. So
now,
what do you do there?
Another thing, say it again, repeat that.
Okay, so the default notice or the renewal of this claim that he claims to think he's going to try to collect on.
Mm-hmm.
The default judgment is in Joseph Raul Tafoya with a bunch of different companies, a lot of old businesses, which are not,
right.
You know, this is 15 years old. So none of those exist other than the Joseph Tafoya. Well, Joseph Tafoya doesn't have the golf course because that was all written under, you know, Tafoya, Joseph Raul, blah, blah,
just
blah, blah.
Right now they're making empty threats. They can't come after you. That business is a total new business. They can't come after that business. You know.
Okay.
Because it's an LLC. That's why you set up the LLC.
Right.
To hide yourself from liability.
Right, exactly. Okay. So then what we're going to do is I'm going to call you. We're going to get the right verbiage on the commercial end of this debt collection letter. So I have that. But I think the debt collection letter that Jonah had is for an individual. Well, I'll talk to you on that. But
you just got to tweak it up. Now,
Remember,
these are attorneys coming after you. So even if they take you to court, they can't testify to the facts.
Uh-uh.
Fringy versus Pagliaro. Because they don't have first-hand knowledge of none of these debts. That shuts it down right there.
Yeah, and that's in, like, the first couple of paragraphs of that debt collection letter.
Right.
You know
they
it
have
is?
No
mm-hmm.
first-hand
yeah.
knowledge of anything.
Now, I mean, it goes right into, you can go into blah, 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 blah. Ivernini, Henninger, blah, blah, blah. Northern California claim.
So what it is, they bought the debt and they're just trying to profit off of it.
Yeah, well, exactly. And the guy's a buddy of theirs. So, and it's going too deep. Okay. And then the EDD. So I could almost
EDD
do the same damn thing. Employment Development Department. So you know, you're supposed to pay taxes on the employee. So most of my employees back then were independent contractors. They come and go as they please, do what they want, blah, 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 blah.
You have to pay taxes.
And then
One
disgruntled one came in and reported us to them saying, hey, you know, I'm not an independent contractor. I was working on the front desk, blah, blah, blah. And so they came out and they did an audit. And they, okay, you owe us this much money. Blah,
was he getting
get
a W-2?
She was getting a 1099, which is
an
independent contractor.
They weren't employees.
Hell no.
They were uncompensated employees.
Didn't tell them what to use. Didn't tell them when to come in. Didn't tell them anything. But any event, we went in and did the meetings with the EDD. And push come to shove, they said, okay, well, we'll delete some of them. We'll some of them in, and this is what you owe us. We'll figure it all out, and we'll send you a final. Well, we never really got
a
final final.
Dead. They'll say, oh,
so,
they act like they're doing you a favor. They were going to do that in the first place.
So what I wanted to do to that note or that letter response is the same thing. I'm going to send them a third-party debt collector. I just don't want the other partner to get tagged onto her. You know, say she's going to refund a $10,000 and this thing's still dragging before she files next year. They'll keep her $10,000 or $20,000, whatever she's going to get back, right?
Well, she knows that you have the IRS letter. That will stop that.
Well, is it the IRS or the third-party debt collection?
No, with that, you need to. It's a Department of Revenue that's coming after them, right?
Well, the EDD, well, the Employment Development Department is a, you know, collects tax for employees. Now,
right, so it's the tax.
That the letter came from them saying, hey, we are going to go and attach your federal income tax if you don't pay this bill. So I want to get something.
How are they going to attach your personal for a business?
Exactly, for an LLC. They can't, but they've got to get, I got to get them something in writing that, you know, tells them,
say you have to do it. Because if you read that letter carefully, they'll say, if you do not agree with our findings, and it tells you what you need to do. But
so what I'm
going to
get with
dispute that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm going to get with you, and we're going to go, we'll write a letter to dispute that. And but so those are my two issues. So, okay, so good.
Okay.
I'll be in touch then, and we'll get those handled. I appreciate it.
All right.
Good to hear you guys,
all
man.
Right,
you guys are
care.
Doing some good things. Hey, peace to the gods. I love y'all.
All right, peace. All right, peace to the gods.
Hey,
thanks.
All right.
Take
thanks.
Care,
I'll call
bro.
You next week.
All
thanks,
right.
Akeem. Bye.
All right. All right, let's go on to 619-946. Dang, what's going on? All that jumping around.
Hello?
Oh, he picked up. 619-946.
Hello?
Peace.
Hello, hello?
Hello?
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Can you hear me? Oh, all right. I got my headphones. I was trying to take. I took them off and then it kind of changed the volume. I couldn't hear. Peace to the God, man. What's good?
Yeah, peace to the God. What's going on?
Ain't nothing much, man. I'm here making some jerk chicken, but I'm listening to the show at the same time on the grill. You were talking earlier and saying nobody wanted to call in. You know what I mean? But I talked to you about some commerce and something. You know, I'm starting this, which I already started, this credit repair business, right? Now.
Right.
What I wanted to know, or, you know, I'm just trying to flow it more in the private, right? I want to set up a trust and work the business under a trust. If you're dealing in the public, would you still run it under a trust and then do an EIN or something? Would that still put
you
in the right
position?
Yeah,
would you set up a business and make the trust own that business? Yeah, simple.
Okay.
It's not that hard. Yeah.
And you just pretty much, how would you give over the business? Or just pretty much make the trust create on the IRS website.
8832, just like you do with the 98 number.
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, man. But I like what y'all was talking about the houses and stuff, man. And the brother was on point, man. I'm in Florida, and you said it right. In the deep south, where I'm at, I think maybe 40 to 50% of the people in my area got wells. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Most of them, when you go 10 minutes down into more country, everybody got greenhouses in their backyard.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you write on there. I went through, the whole neighborhood got greenhouses. I don't need to deal with nobody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You write on it, man. We got to start dealing with our people. But how do we reach our people with our product if their mindset is, you know,
well, what you gotta
Chinese
do,
got
you
better
say,
product,
network.
They got better.
Yeah. And nobody really got a better product because it's all coming from the same place, really.
I truly understand.
You have to start off with a group of people, about 10 people, and y'all work together and build out from there.
All right.
You know, build out.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
you know. Word.
It's good.
You know,
it's
I
not
going to wanna
happen overnight. I can tell you that right now.
For real. But you know, I just thought about different stuff. You know, I know Joey talked a lot about dealing with the overseas commerce. You know, how does that work when we get to that level with the export? Or is that a topic?
I couldn't tell you because I've never done that. I never did import.
Okay.
I've looked it up. I couldn't tell you. I've never done it.
Got you. All right, Akeem.
So,
I just wanted to bring something to the build, bro. You know what I mean? All right,
no problem, man. Peace. All right.
Peace to the God.
Peace to God. All right, let me get my last caller because I got to get ready for tomorrow. Pick up Jonah from the airport. We got a lot of things to do. 803-220, what's up?
Hey, peace to the God, Akeem Mel. What it do?
What's going on? Prince Fulmore.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, man, out here in Los Angeles.
What you doing out there? Making movies? You out there making a movie? Huh?
Yeah, I want to talk to you about a couple things, but first off, I want to just say peace to the chat and everything. I know y'all ugly
mm-hmm.
out there, but y'all still beautiful to us. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, man, so I had a couple of experiences, man, where I didn't even think the injunction would work. I was down in
mm-hmm.
Florida, could have was. I want to say about a month ago, I was in Miami down in Florida, and I fucked around and ran a damn stop sign right in front of the damn police.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't even seen them because it was that night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man, don't you know they pulled me over real, real fast. Lights on, everything. He hopped out like Rambo, ran up to the car. Why are you going so fast? He was
uh-huh.
blah, 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 yelling, trying to intimidate. And
uh-huh.
so I was like, man, you know, I'm sorry, officer, I just got careless. My bad. That's not something I normally do. License registration. So obviously the car clean. But I put my my ID that I do use. I don't drive with no license. So I put my ID in his hand, just my concealed carry for when I'm down in Florida and Atlanta. He come back
mm-hmm.
to the car with all these questions, trying to figure out what's happening. Like, why I can't see nothing in the system? I said, you ain't going to see nothing in the system. And so he went back to
mm-hmm.
the thing, this, that, and the third. King, tell me why when the man came back with the ticket, they was acting like they was going to take me to jail after 30 minutes of this, bro. They
mm-hmm.
was acting like they was going to take me to jail. He gave me the two tickets. I wrote on the no contract on the ticket when he told me to sign that. Man,
mm-hmm.
he talked the ticket on the ticket. It said infraction. This, that, and the third does not need to appear. Basically, he wasn't acting like he was dismissing it, but he had dismissed it on the side of the road, right there on the darn side of the road, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, they got to go through the motions to make you. They don't want to make you seem like you have that power, so they got to give you, you know, the runaround. That's typical. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do your injunction
yep.
in California? Where was this at in California?
No, this is in Florida. I was down in
South Florida. 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 Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Did you do your injunction
yep.
there, or you just did it in South Carolina?
No, what I did was when I got my concealed carry, because that's the only ID I carry out there, so when I have my shit, they can't bother me. When I did
right.
my concealed carry, I was reading all the little small print on the application, and it was an application, a little small box you can check, and it was saying something that was along the lines of an injunction, but it wouldn't say injunction. But it sounded like an injunction. So I checked that box and left the other information void. And I put in my ABC. I put in the
mm-hmm.
injunction for South Carolina. And then I put in one other document. I think it was Resolution 75 or something like that. But I gave it to him and then got my ID back. I didn't think I was going to get it. Got the ID back. And so I'm on it. But my shit is listed as private, even for my concealed.
Wow. That's some new shit there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the new shit.
So,
yeah. They gave it to you when you put all that in, boy. See, that's what I'm talking about, experimenting. You know, it works. But,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, I was. Yep.
Good shit, man.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you this is what I wanted to ask you real quick before we hop off. What you
mm-hmm.
think about with this new age that we're transitioning into with I think it's the Aquarius age? Me and Joy was talking about this with Dr. Iset Sunday on Joey Bounce Show
mm-hmm.
on Sunday, but. What you think about love as we transition into this new age and with everything going on?
We think about what?
With love, L-O-V-E, like the future for love,
man,
in America
or
out here.
I ain't really thought about it, but I think the people, our vibrations are getting higher, people are getting wiser, and they're asking questions. I think we all go into an age where we're going to start getting along a lot better. I know that much. We're heading in that direction, you know. Of course, there's going to be some opposers, but that's, you know, that's not going to stay that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, but,
yeah, that's real.
Yeah. But that's it.
Cool.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
All
right,
right
on.
Brother,
I
got to get ready to do some things.
Right on. Peace to the God.
All right, man. Peace. Good hearing from you, man. How'd your dad
time,
do?
Bro. Oh, you know what, man? I had to talk to you in the private on that one, bro.
Well, I talked to him. I've talked to him in the last few months, so I know, you know, he has some things going on. I just
hadn't
talked to him in
yeah.
about a month or so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
yeah, I mean, he's fine. Good, ain't nothing wrong. You know, he just got
yeah.
He just got a few things. He bouncing around in his head. You know, you gotta let him go through the process.
He took a little break. Yeah, I know. All right, man. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, peace, God.
All right, y'all. That's it for me. Remember, we got the seminar in Charlotte, September 9th, 9 to 3, at Wingate by Wyndham Charlotte, 4238 Business Center Drive. Charlotte, North Carolina, 28214. Go to my site, ikeemail.com. Click the events tab. If you pay online, your receipt is your ticket. If you pay at the door, bring cash. It's going to be Jonah Bay, myself, Joey Bouncel Bay. Peace to God. See y'all next week, or hear from y'all next week if I don't see you at the seminar. Peace.